That pushed us out.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. You love that, right? When you're like, I'm not sure when we're getting out. It depends on how many snow days we have. It could be this day. You know, it could be that day.
Right.
We can't start summer vacation until we know for sure.
That's always fun. So
anyway,
I started the recording.
Very excited.
I think I
might be as excited as kids are.
Ah. Do you guys have any traditions or celebrations every school year?
No, we don't. Not anything specific. I mean, we usually go to lunch on the last day, so we're doing that with one of them. One of them has a birthday party, so can't deny her that.
Good.
And then, sadly, somehow Boy Scouts always plans a camp out this weekend, and so that is a little funky because half of us leave. And so, we spent some time last night sort of making our affirmations about the summer and
good.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kat, what's going on with you?
Our celebration is school has long been over, and we're in the summer camp. But we had to introduce to my son the concept of having to do extra work on math this summer so that we don't have that, you know, everything falls out of his brain and he has a hard time getting back. So basically we're using Mathanasium, and he's going twice a week, and his quote to me, now this is only after like two times, and I'm sure it's going to get old, but he told me, he said, I wish my math class was like Mathanasium. This is
really?
Not too bad. This is not bad. This is okay. And I think it may be partly the pressure. You know, you go in and there's other kids in there, and they're telling other people they did things wrong. Yeah, no, you did that wrong. Do that piece again. But it's lower key. It's the summer. But yeah, when he said, yeah, I wish my math class was like this, I was like, yeah, I wish so too. So,
yeah.
So that's
isn't
a good
that interesting?
Thing. Yeah. And, we talked to the doctor. Actually, we saw the doctor, and she said, yeah, a lot of her patients enjoy Mathanasium, which is strange because they do make you – they do have work. They assess you, and then they see where you need help, and you have sheets to do. And I kept asking him because he's older. I'm like, do y'all play any game? Anyway, they know how to keep them engaged for an hour, you know. So it's interesting.
Huh. That's really cool. I mean, I always find that reassuring because it just kind of reinforces the fact that our kids learn differently. And when we're able to figure out how they best learn differently, then they thrive, right? And it's unfortunate that we can't always do that in the school that they're currently in. But it's always neat to know, I think. Very cool. All right. Let's see. Has anyone else joined us? My computer keeps locking up, and it keeps asking me for a password. Sorry, I know you guys didn't really need to know that, but it's one of those annoying things where I'm like, I'm just trying to do this. I don't want to do this other thing right now. Nope, just the three of us still, which is awesome. All right, let's go back around real quick and take aim. The topic for the day is humor and play, which is always a fun one to talk about. So, you know, again, taking aim, and you guys are old hats at this. You know how this works. Feel free to, you know, choose something that's on a macro level or something that's just been bugging you or something that's on a micro level that you may have been working on or that has just come up. But we're going to be real specific, as we say, when we take aim. So let just chime in whenever you're ready.
So I'm going to be, since the guys are on this camping trip, over the weekend, I'm going to be with my seven-year-old alone, and she is, I was saying goodbye to her teacher this morning as we were, you know, I dropped her off at school, and I was hanging out in the line, and the teacher said, I just said, you know, I was getting all emotional, thank you for such a great year, so, and the teacher, of course, was like, oh, I just so loved having her, and then she looks at me, and she said, she is a very tenacious personality, and I said, yes, she is. And so she can be so sweet and so loving, but then also so, like, just stubborn. And I've talked before about how that kind of pushes my buttons for different reasons that I've sort of tried to think through. And So I feel like so my excitement level is high over the start of summer. But sometimes when I have too high of expectations or high expectations about, oh, it's going to be so great, we have this whole weekend together, we're going to do blah, that can be a recipe for disaster because, you know, my expectations are too high or I forget, like, you know, she has spots too. And so I guess my taking aim, I mean, and I know you're going to tell me to be more specific, but I just I see the potential for this weekend for us to have, like, you know, we can be doing something great and having fun and then all of a sudden it can switch on a dime. And so I'm trying to think about how, you know, I manage my own expectations and my own level of excitement and just think about, you know, keeping it, like, what are the strategies that I've used in the past when we've gotten in these situations that have been successful and what are strategies that haven't been successful? Because we've even a couple times this week, we've kind of butted heads and, you know, so it's not what I want. It's back to the whole, how do I want her to remember our time? And what do I want her to think about when she looks back and thinks, oh, at the end of every school year, brother and dad went on this camping trip and mom and I had this girls' weekend. And yet mom was a bitch to me. You know, I mean, that's all I want, right? I want her to remember us having good connected time. And so I'm just trying to think about, like, how to manage all of that.
Okay.
Which is, well, is part of the bigger theme of the summer, right? Which is we have, especially at the start, we have this whole big block of time that is spreading out in front of us. And I work, but I also have some flexibility, so there'll be time for, you know, spontaneity and fun, and being off the regular schedule feels really appealing to me right now. But it's the same thing on an even bigger scale, which is, you know, sometimes when you have all this freedom and high expectations, that can be, you know, not good.
Yeah. So if you had to summarize that into what you would like that to look like, or what your kind of what your primary hope or goal is there, what would it be?
I think meaningful quality time that doesn't have tension, that doesn't have, you know, yelling or anger or frustration. That's all. I mean, that's not a big deal. That's
all.
Too much,
no,
is that, it?
You know. And a gazillion dollars. And, no.
Right. And a pony. I want a pony on top of all that.
Yeah, and a unicorn. What do you think her, if you were to ask her what her idea of meaningful quality with you is or looks like, what do you think she might say?
Playing, being intentional,
okay.
Like sitting down and playing and doing. I mean, in some respects, I think the, you know, if I have to think about the times where we've gotten crosswise, it's where I have an agenda and I have less flexibility. And sometimes I have less flexibility because I'm the adult and we have to have that way. But sometimes I have less flexibility because I just want her to do what I said. And I don't see my way around to, hey, there's a bunch of other ways that this could get accomplished. I get caught in, but I said it, and I just want you to do it because I said it.
How easy is it for you to let go of that when you recognize that you're...
It is. Well, it's not.
Okay.
But it's not typically. But if I guess I'm sort of feeling like, again, with the optimism of the fresh start of summer. And also, I mean, I think a big part of why I get like that is, in my mind, there's a reason. Like, you need to get to bed because you are a crowd in the morning if you don't get 10 hours of sleep. And so when we are late getting you into the bathtub and then you want to play around and I tell you to get out and then you just lay there in the tub when there's no water in it, that makes me – I kind of lose my mind about stuff like that. So I think recognizing – I mean, the nice part of summer is there tends to be a little less of that need for structure. And so you can go to bed a little later because you're going to sleep in a little more. And if you're tired, you're just tired at sports camp, and that's on you. You know, it's not affecting your learning. So it doesn't pile on all those sort of mommy guilt things that I have. so I think it's remembering, like trying to remember, like really picking my battles. I think that's part of the thing. That is definitely a theme for me of I get locked into something I think needs to happen. And so then when I get there, then like the idea of being humorous and playful, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in that. And so I think
nothing less.
To get back to the kind of theme of the day is remembering earlier to let things go, that like really pick my battles carefully and start earlier with the idea of humor and play and be fun about it. And I think part of that too is giving her choices and letting her accomplish things, you know, the way she wants to accomplish them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. We're going to come back to that because we don't necessarily have to connect what we're taking aim on to whatever the topic is, but I think what you're saying is going to be a perfect segue into what we're talking about today. So,
okay.
Hey, Pat, what's going on with you? What would you like to take aim on?
Okay. It's the same thing. I'm trying to get my son to remember to do his chores. So when he does them, he does fine, and sometimes he's irritated that he has to do them. But and he needs to come up with a system, and it's not me reminding him, even though I've been told that maybe he's not quite ready. He's 11 now to remember. But so the thing I'm trying to get him to do is get I have learned to let go of some stuff. My husband has problems. He has until Friday afternoon to get his clothes in the dirty clothes baskets in his room. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't care if he does it each day. Not my problem. As long as I don't trip, I don't care. My husband gets mad and makes him do it. And I'm like, well, you just lost the purpose. You told him to do it, and he didn't. He has to remember on his own, or he has to trip and hit his head and decide maybe he should pick up his clothes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to get them done by Friday afternoon, and he's maybe half the time he remembers. So
he does remember half the time. There have been times where he's remembered on his own. So you know he can do it occasionally.
Right.
Is that right? Okay, good.
Yeah. So he's got to come up with something that works for him that he knows to do it. We have had occasions where if he doesn't get it done on time, I look at him and go, you know, I could just do this. I've warned him. I'm like, you might not get your laundry done. Or you might be doing it yourself. You're old enough to do it yourself. I don't know if that will jumpstart him. One time he came home late, didn't have it done, and we didn't go out because I said, I got to stay home and do laundry. We can't go anywhere. We're just going to, we may eat peanut butter and jelly and macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
but it didn't have a long-term effect. It didn't, it's like, right. I don't know,
well,
he didn't associate it
for
all.
You. That's a punishment for you, not for him. He doesn't care.
Oh, well, no, he didn't. No, he did care. He was upset. No, he was upset.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to go out. So he was upset, but he didn't. It's like he didn't connect everything together. So we're still working through that one.
So a couple questions. Is it more important or is it more about him creating a system or a structure to remind himself to do it? Or is it more about him just getting it done? Which is the piece with the higher priority for you?
He needs a structure. Because to me this is one little thing. Once he figures this out, then everything, he's got to start remembering stuff himself without us all the time. And this is just one little thing. I want him to figure out what is it that he needs to help him remember stuff. And this is just one thing.
Gotcha. And so what assistance are you willing to provide him to help him come up with that system, or does he have to do it all on his own?
Well, we've talked about it. He's supposed to be thinking, and every so often I'm like, okay, you know, it's getting close to Friday. You got anything? You thought of anything? And, of course, no, he hasn't thought of a thing.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes kids really have no clue how to get going with putting something like that together. And so, and one of the helpful things that we've used before is just to say, you know, make it real. What's the word I'm looking for? Non-judgmental, I guess, but just kind of saying, hey, you know, some kids with ADHD find that it's helpful to do this or to use this type of structure to help them remember. And that's, you know, the reason why you have such trouble remembering is because that's how ADHD works in your brain sometimes. And just kind of make it about that process in terms of, instead of making it about, you know, him not being able to come up with anything. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, just something to think about as you guys are working towards that. Because how realistic is it, do you think, that he's going to be able to come up with something on his own?
Well, he may not be able. Well, actually, one time he did come up with a sticky on the wall one time.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. He actually, I was like, okay, I hope it doesn't fall down. But I was like, that's, but you know, it was his system, and I'm like, you know what? It's got to work for you. Might not work for me,
yeah,
if it works
totally.
For you. I don't care. So,
right.
But now the other thing he's going to have to learn is his system can't interfere with the rest of the household. Like, you can't pile all your clothes on the kitchen table because
mm-hmm.
it's easier to see them there than somewhere else. I've kind of seen
good.
That kind of stuff starting. But anyway, no, I mean, I've given him a few suggestions, but he
okay.
hasn't, nothing has clicked yet.
Fair enough. So, yeah, just as you know already, we want to set them up for success. And, I mean, sometimes those things are more difficult than we think they are. And it's a challenge, you know, and it can be very stressful, I think, for our kids when they're not able to think of whatever system they need to help them. And he may not know, and we may not know. So just something to keep in the back of your mind there. But humor and play can be a fun way to do that. But, again, it's going to have to come from him per your directive. And so when we're talking about using humor in play, I mean, that's a way for our kids to engage, right? I mean, it's a powerful motivator. If you think about any time you guys are playing a game, you know, if your kid's motivated by competition, you may have seen them be a little bit more excited to do things if you make a game out of it. Humor is a powerful activator. It's a great way for our kids' brains to engage and really for us too. You know, there's 5 motivators for kids who have ADHD. There's novelty, you know, something new and exciting, competition, urgency, which a lot of times shows up in procrastination. You know, you wait to the last minute to get something done, and there's this sense of urgency, and it causes the ADHD brain to kind of kick in and get it done. And that's a system and a structure, believe it or not. It may not be the best set up for most people, but it works for kids and adults who are motivated by urgency. You know, there's interest and there's humor and play and fun, which is what we're talking about today. But, you know, you've probably heard either Ned Halliwell or Elaine and Diane talk about the importance of play, not only for kids, but also for adults. And our guest expert this week is Kristen Milliken, and she has a great book about play ADHD and how to use play to help teach consequences, or sort of instead of negative consequences to go right to play instead of some type of punishment or negative consequence, and how play is a great way for kids to learn. Because really, if you think about it, that's our kids' primary job is to play and learn through playing. It's a huge part of their developmental process and a way for them to express themselves creatively. You know, I think that as adults, with the rise of all these adult coloring books and different things, you know, fidget toys for adults and kids, I think it's very clear to me that we need more play in every aspect, and play that's not always necessarily electronic. You know, we have a tendency to forget, though, that the electronic play is helpful as well, and it is a type of play that can be motivating. And I don't know about you guys, but I get really frustrated when I see my kids still on their electronics or spending and wanting to spend hours and hours kind of sucked into a screen, because I think we have in the back of our minds that it's not a legitimate form of play, unless they're outside running around or doing something artsy craftsy or you know, using their imagination, that it doesn't qualify as play. And I'm not saying that we should let our kids have unlimited screen time, but there is a component of play and imagination and creativity within electronic gaming that is definitely a developmental piece of play. So that's something that's easy for us to forget as parents when we're sitting there looking at all the stuff laying around the house and our kids are sucked into their screen. But it's something that we should probably do a better job of remembering along the lines of with limits as well. Let's see, what else do I want to say? There's 9 different types of play styles. There's the Joker, you know, class clown kind of thing, the collector, if your kids like to collect Legos or stamps or whatever. The mover, you know, this is the person who's always dancing, not necessarily our kid who has ADHD, the hyperactive kid, but sometimes the kinesthete or kinesthetic type of play. The adventurer or explorer, which doesn't necessarily just mean, you know, a longing for travel or wandering around trying new things. It also can be, you know, learning and curiosity in reading new books or, you know, searching out new types of knowledge. Let's see, there's the director. The director, you know, when we think of the director, this is often the little girl or boy who, you know, stands there with hand on hip and tells friends and perhaps siblings and parents what to do. And, you know, I think we often perceive that type of child as a bossy child, but it's actually a type of play. And once we recognize that that's a type of play or her or his play style, then we can better kind of direct that sort of play so that it has a positive benefit and it doesn't necessarily come across as kind of being bossy. But that's the director. And a lot of those kids go on to be very successful in life because they fall into that role naturally. Are there any else there? I think that's all on that particular piece. But you know, particularly when things are getting tense, and I'm sure you've seen this, this is kind of not a change in subject, but a change in direction. You know, when you're triggered or getting triggered or your kid's getting triggered and maybe things are kind of starting to escalate, I'm sure you can think of an example where someone made a joke or turned something around sort of right before you got to that heat of the moment thing, and it just diffused the entire situation, and it was funny and it turned it into something fun. And if everyone has been doing their work in terms of filling up our emotional banks with positive energy, then it's really easy to have a joke or a game or something really funny diffuse a situation and prevent things from going pretty far south. So it's something to keep in the back of our minds also. It's a great way it's a great thing to use as a trigger manager. We have to be careful that we are delivering any joke or any suggestion about play in a way that's genuine, because our kids typically don't get sarcasm until they're a certain age. And so if we use sarcasm, they can take it the wrong way. And we have to check our own intentions too, because we may think we're being funny or we're trying to be funny, but if we're not purely in that mindset and we've got an undercurrent of anger or frustration there, our kids are going to pick up on it. Let's see. Okay, so I think that's the pretty much all I want to say. I'm thinking of some situations where we've turned, and play can come in so many different ways. There's been scenarios where we've turned things into a game here to get chores done. And you know, Elaine talks about, going to the grocery store with her kids, and they didn't want to go. So they all dressed up as superheroes and went superhero shopping. and it was way more fun to pretend to fly down the aisles and pick out your cereal than to just go as, you know, your regular old self. And there's been times here where we've, dressed up like Cinderella, and everyone takes turn being the evil stepmother and telling us the evil queen, and telling, the kids to mob harder, or, something like that. Or we do walk the property and we dress up like pirates and we walk around and pick up trash in the yard. So those are not necessarily things that kids like to do generally. And so when you can make it fun, sometimes that's very helpful. But I've been talking far too much, so jump in. What are some things that you guys have done in terms of using play or making it a game to make things more fun and easy, or what are just anything that comes to mind?
I'm sure I have done that. I just can't think of anything at the moment. I feel like I think in the run-up to the end of the year, it's gotten like, we got to get stuff done. It's gotten more serious. And I think that's part of why I'm feeling like, just more really looking forward to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's valid. I think sometimes as parents we get, either we don't think of ourselves as people who are funny or we're not the type of person to kind of joke around, and that's okay. And then
it's not even that so much, because, I mean, I, I can think of lots of situations in which I'm very funny.
No, I think you're hilarious. Absolutely.
But like, I think the thing that I get hung up in is, like, I'm trying to, like, I and my husband. My husband's very, like, he's great. But we work very hard to, you know, take good care of everything. And
yeah.
Sometimes I think it's almost like, I wouldn't say resentment because that's probably too strong, but it's just like, come on, guys, we are doing all this stuff. And it's not like you want them to be grateful, but you want them to at least recognize, like, hey, thanks. And you don't even need thanks, but just like, I'm asking you to do something. Can you just do it? And then
yeah,
I think, I know.
We have to argue about it.
Right. And I know that my, and this hasn't happened in a while, but my definite, like, warning sign that my tank is getting too low is when my mm-hmm. husband or I will look at each other and say something to the effect of, if I had done that when I was a kid, my parents would have, you know, fill in the blank. Not generally. I mean, we got spanked, and I know he got spanked too. But, uh-huh. Like, I would have been in so much trouble. And
right.
So that's kind of my warning sign that our tanks are low and that we are
right.
really running on empty. And uh-huh. thankfully, we haven't gotten there lately. But I just,
right.
I recognize the continuum of, it just takes, it just, I totally appreciate the purpose of this and the fact that it is useful. It just sometimes mm-hmm. seems like too much. Like, really, I have to do this
right.
on top of everything else. I have
right.
to make it fun.
Right.
I don't think it's fun.
To make it a game? Yeah.
Did you hear me bitching about it? No, I am not. I am just doing it. So.
Oh.
So this is a perfectly timed reminder.
Wow, but you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to use humor in play. You don't. I mean, you use whatever your parenting style is and whatever your personality is. But I think it's great that you. I mean, I'm hearing you say that you recognize that that's the personality and the parenting style that you want to have and that you have when your tank is full. But you're recognizing that it's the end of the school year,
right.
and you're done.
Right.
And you're like, I am ready for this to change.
Right. Well,
and so
and
that
I guess
in and
maybe
of itself.
Maybe that is part. I mean, it's kind of what I said before, which is. It does feel like there is more freedom in the summer, and so I think what I'm
mm-hmm.
what I'm responding to and what I'm feeling so optimistic and happy about is,
oh,
good. Hey, you know, guess what? We're going to take a break from. You don't have to practice cello the whole month of July, and really, that's you don't have to practice cello, but I don't have to get on you about practicing cello. That's a win for everyone.
Right.
And so just thinking about that kind of stuff, I think, is feeling
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a good time, I think, to kind of reevaluate. Maybe priorities isn't the best word, but just kind of, you know, where are the areas where you have the most conflict and the ones that cause you the most stress? And I'm not saying it's cello. That was just kind of what came up. But, you know, and are they things that you have to do? Are they things that you want to do? Are you willing to continue
right.
the fight to put up with that.
Right.
Or is it
that's a good reminder as well.
Yeah. It's hard. There's a lot of things that we get, particularly you know, in these years where you just feel like you're on the wheel the whole time and we start to kind of lose perspective in terms of what do I have control over? Do we have to do, you know, basketball camp this summer? Do we have to
right.
do all these other things? And what's kind of the cost benefit?
Right.
But everything potentially, and this is another thing that Holloway says too, you know, everything potentially is up for debate. You know, the only necessities are really brushing your teeth, bathing and eating, and taking your medication at some point. I think we would probably add in a few others, but it's kind of scary and wonderful to what all we could give up.
Right. Well, and I don't want to. I'll let Pat go, and then if there's time, I have one more thing to add.
Okay, cool. Pat, what's coming up for you?
You mean what we do for fun?
Whatever is floating up to the top of your mind.
Well, one thing I do with my son, he and I have a connection. Sometimes I'll just look at him. You know how you can look at your child and you can make them laugh? you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just look at him, and we both, and I'll look at him, and he'll look at me, and I'll grin, and he'll grin. And it kind of, like, breaks the tension, especially if, like, his dad's jumping on him. I'll look at him and make a face, and you know, because it's all, you know, you, at some point, you know, you got to, you know, I don't want him to think everything is, you know, all serious. Mom is all serious, always this, that, and the other. The other mm-hmm. thing is I have learned when I'm stressed, and I know I'm stressed when I'm tired, mm-hmm. and I know when times are worse for us are mornings, and that
yeah.
is when I overlook stuff. My husband needs to get better at that. Because he's in the, hey, I never acted like this. What is your problem? I know, okay, we got a few more minutes before everything kicks in. You know, give him, you know, a few more minutes to get it together. Mm-hmm. And usually when I do that, then our mornings go much better. When I start the fussing and then he reacts, then it goes downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good recognition, though, too.
Yeah, so,
knowing those
you
times.
Know. Yeah, mornings are worse, you know. And then, you know, like, and then the other thing, my son, and it could be because he's getting older. Of course, this started about a year or two ago when he was maybe 9. For him, a lot is control now. And he'll even say it. He said it to me last night. I should be able to wash my hair wherever I want to wash my hair. I should have control. And I'm like, well, you got to wash your, yeah. So you got to wash your body, honey. It's stinky, you know. So. And usually that only happens in the bathtub or the
mm-hmm.
shower.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so I've learned to, and, you know, within reason, you know, like he wants to cook now. You know, he doesn't want you to do this, that, or the other. So, you know, I need to recognize it may take him longer or maybe he'll spill it. But it's more
uh-huh.
important, and it makes everybody much happier, just, you know, let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of
okay.
it, too. And you can call that fun, because the fun for him is I'm doing it, look at me, you know. So my son now he can cook his own eggs. I just kind of go, I wouldn't have whacked it over there, but if that worked for you, go ahead, you know.
Awesome.
So, because he'll tell me that's my way. And I'm like, well, okay, if it works for you, that's good. Good, glad. So, you know.
I love it. That's awesome. And there's so many pieces of that I think are great. And I'm sure you recognize that, you know, what they all are already, but if I may, I think it's hard sometimes as parents to be like, okay, great. Wash your hair wherever. I don't care as long as it gets washed, you know, and kind of to be able to step back and say, you know, I'm totally fine with however it turns out, as long as you do it. That's that letting go piece that I think, you know, can be a challenge sometimes. And I think it's amazing that he is becoming self-aware enough at 11 to feel that he is ready for control, right? Or to recognize that this sort of, you know, first step in independence and becoming a tween or a teen is being able to take over and handle, you know, certain things. And that's huge. That's a huge recognition and realization for him. I mean, it's just going to be a big explosion from here on out, as you know. So I just think that's amazing. So good job. What are some areas go ahead, Jennifer, you have something you wanted to say.
No, I was just going to say, so one thing, I think I talked to you about the fact that Henry has started to have to wear a brace for his scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We're having a lot of trouble with it and a lot And then we also started this, there's a specific kind of therapy for people with scoliosis that like a lot of things may or may not work, but we're trying it because we have to, but it's one
right.
of those things you have to do, every day or at least 6 days
yeah.
out of the week. So,
mm-hmm.
And the place where we get it done is an hour away by car, assuming there's no traffic, but there's never not traffic in the Seattle area. So,
yuck.
Yeah, to top it all off, here's a good move. I had scheduled them at 8:00 on Saturday mornings so that we could get up. So we're doing it on Saturdays, getting up, getting it out of the way. Well, the very first one, I had gotten scheduled at a different time and I forgot. So I, We got on the road at 6:30 and made it there in time, only to be told our appointment was at 3 p.m.
So some humor was required there because otherwise it just would have been crying. And,
yeah.
You know, we managed that. It was fine. But it's much like anything you have to do and remember to do every single day that isn't part of your norm, you know, quite yet.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to, like, okay, let's go do the therapy. So we're, you know, assembling the tools so we can do it at home. We're taking videos while we're at the session so we can try to do it at home ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's frustrated, and he's and rightly so. And I am, my response is really rational, like, this is what we have to do so that you don't have to have back surgery. And so in my mind, my, you know, 48-year-old mind, that's enough information. Like, I don't like it either, but we got to do it. Well, he's still in his 13-year-old brain. He didn't like it. And he's, you
right.
know, kind of pouty and kind of mad, and not all the time. And, you know, he's, when you are saying to him in the day, like, okay, we're going to have to work this out, he'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, we're going to do it. But then when it comes time to do it, it's, you know. So I'm thinking, like, this humor and play topic, instead of me approaching it from a way that would be useful to me, I need to be thinking more about what is a way that's useful to him, and what kind of, I don't know about whether it's reward or just, you know, kind of change in attitude that I can bring to it to help try to motivate him. Not motivate even, but just kind of lessen his pain.
That's
so I don't know if you have any brilliant ideas about that, but I would welcome.
Yeah, no. And my concern is that, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of overloaded already. And
yes.
I'm hesitant to suggest anything that may feel like another to-do for you. And which is not to say that there's not going to be plenty of others that are going to fill in. But, you know, the idea and the goal, hopefully, is to make things feel a little bit lighter, not like you have one more project or one more thing you have to think about or brainstorm on.
Right.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think when we get to that kind of that place where, you know, the tank is mostly empty, then it's a matter of filling the tank up back up first before you can even think about the next step.
Right.
And so hopefully, you know, in the first week of summer or whatever, you guys will be, you know, chilling enough that it's not quite so labor intensive and not quite that heavy, you know, winter coat feeling in the middle of July
right.
or something.
Well, and I think, I've been reluctant to, I've been reluctant to incentivize it with a thing because I just feel like, well, that would be easy and that would definitely be currency for him. It just doesn't quite feel right. And I just feel like I
because it's a have to, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
He has to do it.
It is. It is a have to. It's a health related thing. I don't. I mean, he has tons of health related things. We've never tried to kind of buy his happiness, buy his way out of the fact that this is his deck of cards that he's been dealt or his hand, and he's going to play it, and we're not going to, you know. So I even though I can't quite articulate or I don't quite understand myself why it doesn't feel like the right thing to do, I'm trying to listen to the voice. I mean, the easy part of me thinks, offer to pay him $5 for every time he does his therapy without bitching. I'm swearing a lot today, I apologize. He does it without complaining. And call it good. And I guess I just feel like it doesn't quite seem like the right approach. So
do you want to work through that? We can push on that a little bit if you want to get some clarity around it, or we can leave it alone. It's up to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if I come back to another call and I'm like, hey, I'm really close to doing this thing, but I had this voice that was telling me not to, but now I've changed my mind, then we can do it.
Okay, all right.
But
if it keeps coming up, it's probably something you need to pay some attention to and
right.
either figure out why, you know, what's behind that, what's causing you to feel that way, what's the story in your head, and
right.
what's the harm or
right.
what's the benefit. Yeah.
Right. No, that's totally fair. But I think really what I'm thinking now, like if I wanted to be really specific and take aim on something, I think this is a good thing that I could focus on with him, which is my rational, my rational way of approaching a problem isn't something that's probably going to be useful to him, and instead is just going to create more tension because I feel like if I just articulate it enough or put together my arguments enough, that's going to convince him.
when in fact he's not, and this is not a, something, I mean, it's bad he has to do this thing. It's bad he has to wear the braids.
Yeah.
And all my rationalization around why doesn't help him. And so
right.
taking more of that playful, humorous approach and having more compassion for him, I think is a good thing to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And so somehow without incentivizing it with money, you know, turn it into some kind of playful, fun, you know, fun, kind of in air quotes, because, I mean, how fun can this possibly be? But
right.
But under the circumstances, making it as fun as possible, I think, is.
Okay.
Or at least just having, even if it's gallows humor, at least having some
mm-hmm.
amount of, not approaching it the way I've been approaching it, I think, is what I'm coming down to.
Okay.
And whether that looks
so
like
a change of perspective, we don't know what the new perspective will be, but something different.
Right, exactly.
That's fair. I wonder what that would be like. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking about, you know, when kids go through and everyone shakes their head, you know, in support. And I'm sure that brace is really painful. And I would hate to suggest that you guys wear braces too, but I was just thinking, I just wonder what that feels like. And if that, you know, kind of walking in his shoes or in something similar would help with some idea generation. I don't know.
Right.
That'd really hurt. Yeah. Pat, what are you thinking?
Ask me specifics about.
Sorry. Well, so next steps, you know, in terms of, you know, ways to use humor and play, if you want to use humor and play around a way of helping your son put together, you know, the system or structure for getting his clothes in the laundry basket, you know, is it a basketball game where he shoots them through a hoop and they land in the laundry basket, or the, you know, the bags attached to the basketball hoop, or is it, you know, is it, I don't know, what would you like to work on, or how would you like to approach the next steps in terms of what you took aim on?
No, I'm not planning to do the basketball hoop. No. I mean, he can stand, you know what, he can stand back and do it. He's not a basketball person, so that may not work. But, I'm not going to beat him up about it. I am going to keep asking him once a week, what has he thought about, you know, and, you know, he may unfortunately get some consequences this summer for, you know, not getting his clothes in the basket, because I've told him I can't wash them if they're not in the basket. Not in the basket, I'm not, and I won't pick them up. You know, like if he has stuff on the floor, and, you know, sometimes you just have this, I must turn it right side out, I'll turn it right side out and drop it right where I saw it. Because I know, like this other mother told me, and her son didn't even have ADHD. She goes, yeah, I ruined him for his wife. She goes, yeah, it was too much trouble to make him do it, so I did stuff for him. And I'm like, I can't do that. So, I just to be patient with him and, you know, try and see if he can come up with something that works, or see if he can, and it may be, I think Elaine said he just may not be ready to remember yet. I don't, you know, she said he may just not be ready for it. And I got to let that go and say, okay, maybe next year. Because there are other things he's done really well in. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because it's a chore. His brain's just not ready to wrap around it. And, yeah, he does not have that just do it button for sure. There's no such button in his brain. So.
He doesn't,
I don't want to say it, but he doesn't get it exactly. Just like grades.
Yeah,
he doesn't 100% get that there's a reason you're supposed to make good grades. You know?
Right. Really normal for kids who have ADHD, because there's the now and the not now. And, you know, any particular reason for getting a good grade is, you know, very definitively in the not now. it's the now that we're focused on. But go ahead.
Yeah, so, there's just something, and I'm hoping that part of it's maturity, and that someday he looks at me and goes, oh, I learned today that this is why, you know. But I don't think he gets chores. You know, he thinks he lives in a house and all these things should just happen.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get the you live here. I'm not a maid 24 hours a day. Do you see me go to work and come home? You know? So it just doesn't all click yet.
Right.
So.
Right.
I think it's a, I've taken to describing for everyone the steps of everything that I do, and I've gotten some very funny responses. I haven't gotten any change in people's behavior, but I've gotten some. You know, so one of the things in our house is meals and eating, and I spend a ton. I have a, I don't know what my thing is. I'm certainly not going to do any deep dive into that today, but like making healthy food and having things available to them is a priority to me. So I spend a lot of time making a list and going to the store, and you have to go to 5 stores to get the stuff. And we started, you know, one of those meal delivery services because it has more vegetables and, you know, different stuff like that. And then, you know, it comes and they are like, oh, I don't want that. And so at one point my son said, well, what's the big deal about dinner? And I just launched into this tirade. And he was like, oh, I get that. I can see how you would be upset that we don't eat what you make us. So he was able to verbalize finally for one little tiny moment that concept. Did it change behavior?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Well, but for one moment, I had his full attention of like, oh, gosh, that's a lot. You do a lot there, Mom. Thanks.
So that
Thanks,
must
honey.
Have felt phenomenal. I mean, just that little piece of recognition, that's amazing. I mean, it really is. let's be fair, they're kids, you know, and but they didn't choose to be our kids. You know?
That's right, for sure.
And yeah, which is not to say that they don't have any responsibility or that we shouldn't be teaching them skills for life. But, yeah, Elaine loves to say that, you know, parents always just want to hear, thank you. You know,
right.
Thank you for teaching me that. Thank you for showing me that. I would have no idea how to do that if you hadn't taught that to me. Thank you. And 9 times out of 10, we don't ever get it.
No. Well, and also, I'm certain I never said that to my parents. It's not like, I mean, you know, it's just not
totally
the way it works. And yet we have this driving need for something that's ever going to happen.
Reinforcement or something. Yeah, so it's almost about getting your props someplace else or shifting that expectation so that we're not, you know, that resentment doesn't develop
right.
in the absence of the, yeah.
Well, and also, it's part of that thing, too, of like, well, I generally don't have them come to the store with me because it's easier for me not to. I don't have them sit down and help make a list. There's all kinds of things where it's hidden from them because I don't require them to participate. So of course they don't know anything about it.
Yeah. That's
until I yell at
them. Great recognition. Right. Well, and so in fairness, right? I mean, that was the one thing I was going to say too is, and it does. I mean, I get it. It's much easier and much faster if you just go do it yourself. But if we are willing to take the time, and, you know, there's definitely been days where I've walked around the house with my 11-year-old and he hasn't gotten to do anything because he keeps forgetting to pick things up and take them, you know, throw this away. And we just walk from room to room pretty much picking things up all day.
Right.
Kind of as a reminder of all these things are just yours if you just picked up after you. But it does. It takes time. And you know, and we don't always have the time to invest. So it's that give and take. So definitely as I always say, forgive yourself. Cut yourself some slack. Take care of you first. And everything else will follow because you guys are doing an amazing job. I mean, these are huge, huge things, huge obstacles. I mean, good Lord, having to wear the brace all the time and driving to therapy and, you know, just all the things that we do for our kids. It's a lot.
Yes,
so absolutely. Make sure to remind yourself that you're doing about at least 50%, if not 75% more than the parent of the neurotypical kid is doing on a day-to-day basis. And that's a lot. Make sure you give yourself some love along the way as well. Kat, what do you have everything you need to be successful with supporting your son and putting together his system or structure?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, cool. Anything that you want to say on checking out? Any next steps or, let's see, any specific action item or aha you want to share?
Just a reminder that, you know, not to take everything, I don't know, so seriously that, you know.
Got it.
So.
Perfect. Thank you. How about you, Jen?
I am all good.
Groovy. All right, guys. Enjoy the next week. We're off next week, I think, and maybe the following week. I'm not sure. Our schedule's messed up again. So look for the Monday email. And if you're not sure, check the online calendar.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.